The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
Welcome, listeners, to Bruin Radio Interviews, an hour-long interview show brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School.
This is Bruin Radio with Isabella Freitas and
Jeremy Pettiner.
And we are here today with candidate for Curry County Commissioner, Andre Pay.
Thank you, Jeremy and Isabella, for having me here and taking the time to interview me today.
Andre, what is your Checo Bar fire story?
Thank you. I was asked at the early stage of the fire to work as a donations and volunteer resource coordinator. And so that's what I did. And I did this with no direction. And I set out forth into the community to find out what was needed by the evacuees. And out in the community, I found a lot of help. Had a lot of businesses helped. Everybody came together. We had free clothing stores we set up at Elks Lodge. We had the free shopping store for food and supplies set up at the REMAX building during the fire. Most of the donations came in through there. We had also cash donations for immediate needs for the evacuees that we used for gas cards, for generators, for cars, so they could go check on their livestock and their homes. And once I finished up with that, I went on to sit on the Wild Rivers Community Foundation committee that was set up to disperse the donations that were brought in. And I sat on that until that ended here last month. And I continue to advocate for the folks up on Kate Road still as much as I can. And through the Wild Rivers Foundation, I was able to secure funds for myself to advocate for immediate needs up on Kate Road, which would include water systems that were burnt during the fire. And so I was able to secure those funds and get that stuff set up. And that's about it.
So why was there a need to advocate for the people up on Kate Road?
That is a good question. Nobody was advocating for them at the time. And I saw the need to find resources and help for those folks that lost their homes, battled to save their homes, and tried to find resources out here in the public and what's offered and make them aware of that. And we brought in Umpqua Neighborhood Works, and I was able to take them up there where they could meet up there on the ridge and offer them the programs that they have to help them rebuild their homes with loans and stuff like that.
Can you elaborate on some of the people that were involved?
Yes, I can. It's a group that we like to call ourselves Team Curry. And we are just a group of concerned citizens that try to go out into our communities and help where we see that help is needed any way we can, no matter what the situation is. And there's a lot of us involved in that. And I also have a lot of good help with what I like to call Team Q's County. And I have a team up there that also worked with me during the fire and helped me with bringing in food and supplies. And between the two teams, we roughly brought in 45,000 pounds of food and supplies.
Can you tell us more about Team Curry?
I'm not sure I can really say a whole much more about Team Curry. Like I said, it's just a lot of concerned citizens that care about our community. And whenever something needs done, we can always just ask Team Curry for help, and I will always get response, and we'll get even small things done like washing graffiti off the wall down by Conoco gas station that only takes 10 minutes. But it's Team Curry that went out and finally did something about it. Mm-hmm. Even the bus stop down here at the old Ray's or whatever, to clean it, whatever needs done. And the fire happened to just be really large. And it really made Team Curry huge, and I don't even know who they all are.
So you're almost like a big group of Good Samaritans almost.
That's exactly what we are.
That's awesome.
We just care about our community, the health and safety of our community.
Can you tell us about the moment you decided to run for Curry County Commissioner?
There wasn't really an exact moment that I decided to run for Curry County Commissioner. I got involved at the county level when I moved here 3 years ago, and it's the first I've really been involved in any kind of politics. And I started attending meetings. I watch them religiously, weekly, or whenever they have them. And I saw how the county was financially being drugged down, and we need something desperately to change. And so there's only one way to make change, and that's to do something about it. And so I stepped up and went ahead and filed for county commissioner.
Do you think you are the best candidate for commissioner that is currently running?
No, I do not think I'm the best candidate that's running for county commissioner. All the other three candidates are far better than I am. That if I am elected for county commissioner, I will fight just as hard as any of the other ones to do the job.
What will you bring to the table as a county commissioner that your competitors don't have?
I don't know what my competitors don't have and what they do have. And so I don't know what they're all bringing to the table per se, because you won't know until that day happens. I will bring bipartisanship and willingness to work with everyone and listen to everybody in the county, to their ideas.
How do you view the current state of the county?
The current state of the county is a really sad state of affairs, in my opinion. Mainly, like I said earlier, the revenue is a huge problem. We don't have any revenue in this county. I don't really see much in economic development. And what we do have is being housed out to Coos County. And the state of our law enforcement at the county level is in dire needs of funding somehow. Especially in the unincorporated areas of Curry County, we only have a total of 10 deputies right at the moment. And two of those, one's a detective and one's a sergeant, so they're not really road deputies. And our road deputies don't really patrol our roads. They just do their 911 calls and then any immediate needs. And then they try to catch up on stuff like property crimes when they have time. I talked to Captain Espinosa Monday, and he said to be able to do what he would like to do at the county level, he needs 12 to 14 full-time road deputies. So right now we get 10 hours a day of road patrol from Curry County Deputy Sheriff's Department, and we have two deputies at a time, one South County, one North County. And so that's it for our Sheriff's Patrol in unincorporated areas of Curry County, and it's a big area.
What are some of the policies you hope to create?
Some of the policies I would like to, maybe not necessarily create, but to work on and change, and that's one of those I think is really important, and that's the Board of Commissioners travel policy. I believe the commissioners need to travel to be able to do their jobs, to be out in the public, to talk to the people, and to see what they really need. And they need to have a travel policy in place for when they need to travel.
What are some policies you would like to repeal?
I would like to repeal our land use restriction policies, which I believe is really hampering our economic development in this community. And I think that would be the number one thing that I would work on.
Imagine that you were asked by several Curry voters to make a policy limiting the budget for Curry Commissioner travel. How would you react to this request?
I would listen to what they have to say, and I'd also add my input and what my beliefs are on what county commissioner's travel should be and the reasons why, to be out and talking to the constituents, trips to Salem, lobbying for us. David Brocksmith's a prime example of what a county commissioner of travel can accomplish for a county.
What are some things you like that David Brocksmith has done for us?
Some of the recent ones, I would say the Harbor Sinkhole. He had to lobby for FEMA funds, millions of dollars, and he had to go out and travel and to lobby for this and meet face to face. and have that handshake to be able to secure these funds and these relationships with the federal government, the state government, and to get these funds down. Without him traveling, these things wouldn't have happened.
How much or how little are you willing to be paid to be commissioner?
That's a very interesting question. I don't think anybody should do a job and expect less pay than what the pay is acceptable for that job. The county has a salary commission, and which is comprised of citizens here in Curry County, and they're the ones that advise to the Board of Commission on what elected official salaries should be. And if I am elected, I plan on working 110%, and I expect the wages that I'm working for and the benefits I'm working for.
Borrowing money from the County Road Fund has been a topic of some controversy. What is your stance on borrowing from the Road Fund in Curry County?
That is a tricky question, and it's being talked about a lot. I'm not 100% sure what we should do with the County Road Funds. I do know that we need them to stay within the county, but there is possibilities they can be used for other options within the county to help fund, like even some road deputies, or the one big talk is to fund the ER here in Brookings. But the one thing we don't know is where these funds be repaid. Would they be repaid in a timely manner? What are the interest rates? How much money do we stand to make from them? How much money are we going to take from the $33 million out of the road fund? And what will happen if tomorrow we have the 9.5 and we need earthquake and we need this for road structure? It's gone. So I would have to do a lot of serious thinking and researching before I would okay any loaning from the road fund, even though I advocate for all the sheriff road patrols we can have and get. I do not believe it should be taken out of our road fund. I think we should be able to look for other revenues and to support stuff like that.
Some current commissioners support the hiring of a county administrator, and we currently have a temporary county administrator. Would you vote in favor of hiring a full county administrator, a full-time county administrator?
At first, I was against hiring of a county administrator because of the funding for it that we don't really have. And I didn't know at the time the full functions of the county administrator and what the county administrator can actually do and the amount of stuff he can help take off the commissioner's shoulders so they can do commissioner work and not administrative work. So I've seen what our current county commissioner, or I'm sorry, our current county administrator is doing, and I'm highly impressed with his skills and administrating within the county, and I am all for hiring this county commissioner, or county administrator now, I'm sorry, because I believe the time that he can free up from the commissioners will let them go out into the community and spend more time with their constituents face to face.
The World newspaper out of Coos Bay followed the search and rescue efforts for Sean and Trevor Higgins. And Andre Bay is pictured in an October 2016 photo that the World published. Was that you? And what was your involvement in the search?
Yes, that was my picture in the World paper. I was asked to help supply food to the search teams during that time when they were searching for Mr. Higgins. And that involved Team Curry and Team Coos once again. Mr. Higgins was from Coos County. And what we basically did, we supplied all the food we could until the sheriffs told us to stop. And everybody in the community came together, local businesses that I worked with, taking hot meals up. And we did that for about 16 days, I believe, with up to, like, I think 200 search and rescue members up on the mountain searching for Mr. Higgins at that time. And a couple of those days, I did that by my phone, out of town, and still organized it and made the drop-offs and pickups. And that was my involvement with that.
What compelled you to aid in the search?
I'm an ex-firefighter, and I spent some years as a volunteer. And so it's always in me to help people. I've always been a longtime hunter and woods advocate as well. And so that made it even more so wanting to help locate this hunter out here lost in the woods. And in situations like this, they just drive me. I really don't know why. It comes from my heart, I guess. And there was a need. There was a family desperately trying to find their husband, their father. I had the time to help.
In April of 2017, in Andre Bay wrote a letter to the pilot that had the tagline, "Anyone recall Tom?" The letter suggested that maybe it was time to recall Commissioner Tom Huxley. Was this your letter?
Yes, I did write that letter and submit it to the pilot.
Tell us about the moment you decided to write that letter.
That was not a specific moment again. That was just a buildup of watching the county slip away in despair financially. And it was at the budget time too. And I was closely watching the budgets. And I was watching what Commissioner Huxley was doing and where he was wanting to remove money from. One of those was a $400,000 cut to our sheriff's department with no regard to public safety whatsoever. But in the meantime, he wanted to spend $100,000 on the new video and audio equipment, which he did do. And now that doesn't even work right. I've been hosting my own YouTube channels, posting the meetings since January of 2017 because the county wasn't getting them up on their county website. And now at this point in time, after spending the $100,000 and $25,200 annually to record the meetings, they're hosted on a free social media platform of YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we spent $100,000 to use YouTube as a county server. Another reason that I decided to write that recall letter, I was not happy with Mr. Huxley's decision to start deleting the County Board of Commissioners meeting videos after 1 year and hiding them from public view. I believe those should be retained forever.
Why do you believe that the meetings should be preserved?
The meetings should be preserved, not only audio, but video for all of us as citizens, so we can go back at any time and look at them. Not only hearing the audio, but watching people in it visually in a meeting says a whole lot about what they're saying. To be able to see facial expressions, rolling of the eyes. Mm-hmm. And so that helps a lot for the public, and they can read and see and get a lot from a person's reactions when they can see it versus just hearing a monotone like this will be.
How do you feel about Tom Huxley now?
I think it's a good thing that Tom Huxley is stepping down. He's doing the county a favor by not running again for county commissioner. I believe he's brought us down far enough, and it's time to rebuild the county.
How would you have handled the Todd Weeks scenario differently had you been a commissioner?
That's a really interesting question to ask that I can't really answer because I wasn't a commissioner at the time. I wasn't privy to the executive sessions that were discussing his discipline and insubordination, which he eventually got fired for. None of us will ever be privy to this information. So I really don't know how you could answer that. If I was commissioner, I still probably couldn't answer it because of the executive session laws. That's about the best I can really answer that. I will say this about Mr. Weeks. While he was the IT technician, the county videos did get up within 24 to 48 hours posted on the county website. After they fired him, it would take up to 10 days to put up one county commissioner meeting up on their website. And then they had to outsource their IT sources to Coos Curry Electric Corporation, who is now the county's IT technician.
What kind of a working relationship do you think you'll have with Court Boys?
I think I'll be able to work really well with Court Boys. I admire a lot of his views, his willingness to get out and put his boots down on the ground, talking with the public, working on issues that are important within the community. I am working with him actually right now with the State Fire Marshal We're trying to get the Checo Bar Fire reports corrected and accurate, which they are not at this time. And so I'm working with him now on that. I don't really see any problem working with the Commissioner Boyce.
You mentioned there are some inaccuracies with the Checo Bar Fire. What are some examples of the inaccuracies?
The total number of lost dwellings in the fire. That's the main one I'm working on right now with the State Fire Marshal to get that number corrected to reflect the correct number of total lost houses.
How many houses were destroyed?
There was 9 dwellings lost in the Checo Bar Fire, and only 6 of those are reported. Through any reports with the State Fire Marshal, all the way down to our local newspaper here, everybody still only reports 6, but there's 9 actually.
Okay. Why is there a difference of 3 dwellings?
I believe there's some inaccuracies within the county's tax lots and recordings, and some houses are just not being caught. And I know one property for a fact that has 2 dwellings on it. Both of those dwellings are lost, but the state fire marshal only counts that as 1 lost dwelling, even though there's 2 dwellings on the property. And so that's where part of the problem is with the numbers. And that's what we're trying to get corrected. And the way we look at it for the people that I'm working with, if you lived in a teepee out there, that was your dwelling. If it burnt in the fire, you lost your dwelling. A dwelling is anything that you live in.
What is your working relationship with Sue Gold?
I haven't worked with Sue Gold at all. I never really got to know how she works in a commission type job until she was elected as county commissioner. I don't attend too many of the port commission meetings down there, so I didn't get to see much down there. I really like Sue. I like how she listens to both sides. She seems pretty impartial and is open to even postpone important matters instead of making a rash decision. And I think she's an excellent chairwoman.
Who are 3 sources you look to for guidance on ethical questions?
Thank you. That's a hard one to answer. And I put some thought into it. Of course, my number one would be my mom, but that doesn't pertain to this question, really. I think the first person I would talk to you if I was a commissioner and I had ethical questions, I would turn to county council and get the advice from him. And then I would turn to my state representative, Nix. And if I wasn't happy with my results or answers, I'd go on up the chain. And governor, and then if nothing else, my constituents, see what my people think. The people that voted for me. And that would be key there too. You need to listen to the people that vote for you because you're representing those people.
What political party, if any, do you associate with?
I'm a libertarian.
For people listening that might not know, what is your definition of a libertarian?
A libertarian is a person who doesn't follow up the phrase, "I believe in freedom," with the word "but."
I like that.
I can expand on that and make it simple. You can have this gun, but it has to be made this certain way.
Okay.
In our research on you as a candidate, we found a Facebook page that appeared to be yours with a few photos about something called 3%. What is the 3%?
Hey, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. The 3% is a grassroots political activist group dedicated to the restoration of continuity in our country. And I am a member of the 3%, Oregon 3%, and I am the Curry County president. And I'll just read you our Oregon mission statement. Our primary function is to bring together like-minded patriots who believe in our Constitution and are willing to take action in defending it with no compromise. We provide education, organization, training, and support for our members so that together we may help effect a peaceful return to our constitutional government, if all possible. We are active in civic leadership and hold our elected officials accountable. We stand together with unwavering resolve to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I'll go ahead and follow up on this some more. 3% is who I called on during Checo Bar Fire. And they came from all over our state, and not only our state. And they came directly to Brookings, and they went right to work in level 3 and level 2 evacuee zones in the fire, clearing defensible space for the people whose houses were in the path of the fire. They brought in lots of food, lots of supplies. I don't know the pounds on those. They brought in lots of money they donated to the donation fund. They set up the 2-day free barbecue down at the old sinkhole for the whole community. And that's part of what 3% did. They see a need to help the public, the community, and they came when they're called. And then they're done, they leave. When we got done on the Checo Bar Fire on this side of the fire, when the evacuations were done, went around to the O'Brien side of the fire and started helping over there.
Earlier you mentioned they received education and training. What are some examples of the education and training they receive?
Education is your basic civic education. We teach them about the Constitution, about the Oregon Revised Constitution, what our rights are, what our rights aren't. Any kind of training is possible. We'd even do first aid training so these people can help out in the community if they're needed for anything. We do weapons training, safe weapons handling. We do certified gun classes.
Earlier, you mentioned you were the president of the Curry County chapter of the Oregon 3%. What are some of your duties as president?
Some of the duties as the president is to keep the chapter together, keep them organized, keep them involved in the community, organize stuff like the trash pickups along the highways, and I organize those. I just oversee the rest of the chapter, basically. I do boots on the ground, just like I did on the fire. I worked every day on the fire, and that's basically it. I try to educate the public. We'll be having some upcoming events at the fair and stuff will be coming up, and we'll have booths up there and handing out pocket flyers for the Constitution, educating, stuff like that.
What do you know of the public perception of the 3% organization?
In the state of Oregon, it's not that really good. We get blamed for a lot of stuff that the 3% are not involved in, and there's some outlaw groups that wear our gear and call themselves 3% and violently protest and do stuff like that. And so the public sees that as all 3% when it's not. And as I give an example about what we've done on the Checo Bar Fire, that's what the 3%'s about. It's about helping everybody. We don't protest in anger. We don't fight people. We stand up for our rights, and we protect people whose rights are being taken away from them.
Why do you think Curry County has the highest suicide rate in Oregon?
I think there's many reasons why. We're a retirement community, so we have a lot of older generation folks here. We have one of the highest veteran populations of all the Oregon counties, and we have the least amount of mental health care and most of the counties in the state of Oregon. So when you combine all that together, the results are not good.
What role do you want the county government to have in gun control?
That's a very interesting question to ask, since the county can't get involved in gun control within the state of Oregon. I'll just refer to Oregon State Revised Constitution, Article 1, Section 27, that states the people shall have the right to keep and bear arms for the defense of themselves and the state, that the military shall be kept in strict subordination to the civil power. This was written 100 years after our federal constitution.
You're listening to KCIWLP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM. This is Bruin Radio Interviews with candidate for Curry County Commissioner Andre Bay.
The counties cannot get involved in gun control measures. It's just not possible, and there's nothing in place for it to happen. And if the county tried to enact an ordinance to control our gun rights, there'd be no voided It'd be useless in court. It wouldn't stand up. The state controls our gun rights, mm-hmm. which is clearly stated. And you can also read some more on Article 1, Sections 20 and 21 cover about making legal things a felony, which like the new IP43 would do that's coming up that they want us to vote on. And that would make something today that's legal for us to do would turn us into felons tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that Section 20 and 21 of the revised statute covers that. It's not allowed.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the recently passed bill that doesn't allow domestic abuse users to own a gun?
I think that can be a good starting point. You're taking a violent person already who's been convicted of a violent crime and limiting his access to some weapons. And I agree with that.
What are your thoughts on the Florida school shooting?
Yes, that's another tricky question there. The short of it, it was a tragic event. Could have been avoided? Possibly. Were everything in place as they should be? It could have been avoided, absolutely. And that's really all I can say. No kids deserve to lose their lives in schools. And tragic event.
How can we prevent a similar situation locally?
I think education will be the start of it. Even education within inside the school systems. And school resource officers, as we can see already this week, come in really handy at times when they're needed. So I think a resource officer, if it's affordable, is really the way to go. We just saw it 2 days ago in action.
Is there any particular training you would like to see put in place to ensure that the resource officer would do their duty?
I would have to investigate and research. I would hope that they're already a qualified ex-police officer or somewhere along the lines and may only need not so much training, but a different training for a different atmosphere within inside of a school, you know, where it's not like being out on the street. I'd have to do some research and talking and asking.
What is your stance on the proposition to arm teachers?
I think it's a good idea if the teachers are qualified, well-trained, and agree to be armed and put in the school system, and they're qualified for the job to carry that gun, I'm all for it.
What do you think about student protests?
I encourage everyone to exercise their constitutionally protected rights to peacefully assemble and protest. I do not think students should be walking out of school to do that. I think they should do it after school hours and exercise their constitutional rights and protest peacefully and assemble. I believe schools should be used for education, not protesting.
What is your opinion on students not going to school until their desired legislation is passed?
I don't believe that is a choice of the student under the age of 18.
Okay, that works. Cool. Sweet.
So they really have no choice.
I can see that.
And if the parents agree, there's always homeschooling. Mm-hmm. But a kid can't just stop going to school because of what he thinks a gun law should be and shouldn't be. And especially when he's not at the age that he can even vote on such a law. Mm. But they don't have... Children under the age of 18 don't have the right to not go to school.
All right, everybody. This was Bruin Radio Interviews with Isabella Freitas and...
Jeremy Pettiner.
And you just heard an interview with candidate for Curry County Commissioner Andre Bay.
Thank you, Jeremy and Isabella, for having me today. It was a pleasure.
It was awesome having you.
You've just listened to an episode of Bruin Radio Interviews, an hour-long interview show brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.